for our life. But my message today is called Marks and Moments. Everybody look to the person on your left and say, don't miss your mark. Now everybody look to the person on your right and say, don't miss your moment. Amen. Amen. In the young adults ministry, a lot of the things that we've been dealing with is, you know, figuring out God's vision for our life, God's purpose for our life, how to walk out the pure version and not the perversion. And, you know, as we was, and it's more like a class, it's not like a service or preaching right now. That's not really where it's at right now. But we ask questions and we seek things out together. And I don't claim to know all the answers, but I do, but I will be willing to help figure out things if things come up and I don't know. All right. One of the nights we were talking about, you know, vision and purpose and destiny, and Brianna, she brought the subject of timing up. It's one thing to know what you're supposed to do. It's another thing to know when you're supposed to do it, right? And the scripture that God put on my heart to start out with is Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. And this is the New King James Version. And let's just pray before we go any further. Father God, we just thank you so much for everything that's already taken place, what you're doing in this ministry as a whole, and what you're doing in everybody's individual life, and how that ties in to the bigger picture, God. We just thank you. We love you, and we praise you. Anything that's in the atmosphere that's trying to hinder or block, or anything that's going on in anybody's life that's just trying to weigh on them this morning, we just cancel it out right now in the name of Jesus. May hearts and minds be open. May the atmosphere be clear for people to receive. God, I don't want to speak. I want you to speak through me, God. I don't want to bring my word. I want you to bring your word, God. Just put me on as your suit this morning, God, and you speak to your people. You speak to your people and let them know without the shadow of a doubt they're a part of what they're meant to be a part of here today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, if we can bring that up. This is the New King James Version. It says this: Then the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everybody say vision. Everybody say appointed time. All right, so the vision is the mark. The vision is the purpose. The vision is the path that God has for you and the plan that God has for you. The appointed time is the moment. The appointed time is when. The appointed time, come on, you got the mark and the moment. That's what we're talking about this morning. And first, I want to talk about marks. Let's talk about marks. I don't know how many of y'all was here last time I preached, and I don't know how many of y'all have heard this teaching before, but I just feel like I need to go over it again. We've talked about the concept of sin, and sin doesn't really mean to be out here drinking or doing drugs or breaking the law. Sin means to miss your mark. How many of y'all know that God's got a mark for your life? He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life. I know so many people that live so-called good lives, and they're not breaking any rules, and they're not doing anything wrong in the world's eyes, but they're still not doing what God created them to do. They're still not hitting the mark that God called them to hit. So in God's eyes, it doesn't matter that they look good in the world. They're still in sin to him. Does that make sense? It's not just about being a good little boy or being a good little girl. It's about fulfilling God's purpose for your life, hitting the mark that he has for your life. Amen? Come on. And you know, one of the main reasons that I was caught up in a life of drug addiction and a life of alcoholism, one of the main reasons that I was missing the mark was because I didn't know that God had a mark for my life. I didn't know my purpose. See, the drinking and the doing drugs and all the ungodly things, or the breaking the rules in the world's eyes, that's just the result of sin. It's not necessarily the sin itself. See, we've called the fruit the sin instead of the root. Does that make sense? Come on. That's just the fruit of me not knowing my purpose. That's just the fruit of me not knowing my mark and me not knowing why I'm here and what I'm supposed to do. I get caught up in a bunch of worldly things, and I'm hitting all the wrong marks, and I'm living out the perversion of my life instead of the pure version of my life. So you got to know your mark. And if we're going to hit our mark, we got to identify the mark, right? That's the first thing that we got to do. We got to identify the mark. Well, how do we do that? You know, one of the main ways that we do that is that we get our mind and our perspective and our vision towards life shaped and molded according to the right thing. One of the main reasons I was chasing the wrong thing was because I had a worldly mindset. You know, the world fed me the lies that life was all about the American dream and material things and sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And because I believed that to be the truth, because I allowed that to shape the way that I thought, that's why I went in that direction. So what's your mentality? What's your mind frame, huh? Is your mentality on the eternal? Is your mentality on the temporal? Huh? Is your mentality on the things of God or the things of the world? That's why it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come on, in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, there's a war going on and it's in my mind. Come on, that's the battlefield. That's where we got to get our perspective right. That's where we got to get our vision right. That's where we got to get cleaned out from the ways of the world and receive the ways and the truth of God so we can see the Word of God. And the Bible says we're washed by the water of the Word, all right? You want to get your mind cleaned out? You got to get the water of the Word. You want to receive the ways in the you want to get the ways of the world out of your life, you got to put in the ways and the truth of God. Huh, let that be the corrective lens that shapes your mind and shapes your perspective, and let that be the lens that you view life through. Okay, because if that's not the lens, you're always going to be walking down the wrong path. You're always going to be hitting the wrong marks, living out the wrong version of your life. And this is one of the main reasons that the children of Israel were brought to the wilderness. How many of y'all ever heard the saying? You've heard preachers preach it, you know. They came out of Egypt, but they couldn't get Egypt out of them. Huh? Come on. Even though they were delivered from slavery, they still thought like slaves. They still had a mentality of a slave. And listen, when you got the mentality of a slave, you can't enter into the promised land. Because listen, if God allows you to take the promised land while you still think like a slave, the only thing that you're going to do is mess it up and make it look like Egypt again. So one of the main purposes that God brought them to the wilderness instead of just taking them straight to the promised land was to deal with their mentality, to get their mind and their heart shaped and molded according to His ways and His truth so He could actually do something in their life, right? And listen, He brought them to the wilderness of Sinai. This is just a little nugget. He brought them to the wilderness of Sinai, to the mountain of Sinai, right? But you got to know that Sinai almost also means sin. All right, so they were in the wilderness of sin, and they were brought to the mountain of sin. All right? And in the wilderness of sin, in the wilderness of missing the mark, and on the mountain of missing the mark was birthed the law, came the law, which is the ways and the truth of God. And that was meant to get in their heart and in their mind so it would bring them out of a mentality of missing the mark. Does that make sense? In the wilderness of missing the mark, on the mountain of missing the mark, was birthed the system of operation, was birthed the mentality and the perspective that was going to bring them out of the ways of missing the mark. Does that make sense? It was going to reshape their mind. It was going to reshape their heart. And get them to start viewing life in the right way. Get them to start seeing things from the right perspective so they could hit the mark for their life. And they start seeing things from the right perspective. They start seeing the mark for their life. They start seeing the promised land and the things that God had for them. But how many of y'all know that that wasn't enough? Y'all go with me to Numbers chapter 13. See, you can know the word. You can have the word in your mind and in your heart. You can know the word and still doubt the word. And one of the things that I like to compare the law to, I just feel like I need to explain this real quick. Because I believe that the law of God has really been preached in such a legalistic way. Such a condemning way that people shun away from it. They think being a Christian is all about rules and regulations, and you can't do this and you can't do that, and you got to do this and you got to do that. It's not a checklist of do's and don'ts. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations, but the law is really meant to be your operating system, all right? How many of y'all got computers at home? Everybody got an iPhone or a Droid, right? Your iPhone, your iOS, whatever update you got, the 15, you know, that's iPhone operating system, all right? What is an operating system? The definition of an operating system is laws that govern the way something operates. It's the written code within the device that governs how that device operates, all right? And if you don't understand the operating system, then you're not going to be able to get on that thing and do what you need to do, right? But because you understand the operating system, because you know how it works, because, and think about it, what's, you know, you got a computer at home, Windows 7 is the operating system, you got to double click on the start button, you got to double click on whatever app that you want. Those are all the steps that you got to take that line up with the operating system for you to be able to log on to the system and do what you want to do, all right? Now listen, God's trying to upload his law, his operating system, to your heart and your mind so he can log on to you and work through you into the earth. See, that's what the law's all about. It's not about a system of rules and regulations that just make you live a sucky and boring life. It's meant to be your moral compass. It's meant to be your decision-making process. It's meant to be your perspective towards life so God can log onto your system and work through you into the earth. Come on, it's the laws that are meant to govern the way you think, the laws that are meant to govern the motives of your heart. And once you get that embedded into you, once it just becomes the way you make decisions, once it just becomes the way you think, it's not like you live your whole life focused on, I can't do this, I can't do that. No, you've already became the law, you've already became the word, and you don't focus on any of that. That's just how you operate, and now God can fulfill his purposes through you. That's your corrective lens. That's your perspective. It's not just about knowing the word and saying, well, I can't do this. I don't live my life focused on I can't do this, I can't do that. I live my life. I'm already just shaped and molded according to that decision-making process, and God can just log on to my system and move. All right? He can just log on. Operating system. And on the mountain of missing the mark, they were missing the mark because they had the wrong operating system. They had the operating system of a slave instead of a son. On the mountain of missing the mark was birthed the operating system that brought them out of missing the mark. Huh? Does that make sense? Everybody tracking? Everybody good? Come on, I feel like some of us just need to get up and do some jumping jacks and wake up this morning. Huh? Amen. Amen. Numbers chapter 13. Listen, having the law and knowing the word and seeing the mark, listen, you can receive the law, you can know the word, and it can shape your perspective to know what your purpose is in life, but listen, it doesn't stop there. There's more to it than that. And I'm going to show you this in Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 25. This is the New Living Translation. It says this. How many of y'all know Moses sent out some scouts to scout out the promised land? All right? This is where we're at. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk. Honey, here is the kind of fruit it produces, but the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. The descendants of Anak, the Amalekites, live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once. Everybody say at once. To take the land, he said, we can certainly conquer it. Now listen, I know I didn't explain this earlier, But sin means to miss the mark. It was originally an archery term, people shooting bows and arrows. Let's say that you got your bow drew back and you got your arrow aimed at the mark. And let's say you shoot, but you miss. It doesn't matter if you miss this much. It doesn't matter if you miss this much. It's all sin in God's eyes. But listen, it's not about just being ready and knowing your mark. It's about waiting on the right moment to release. All right? It's about waiting on the wind to die down, right? Come on, because if the wind is blowing all crazy, it's going to throw your arrow off. It's about most archers, they exhale before they release, because that relaxes them to such a point that they're not going to glitch, or they're not going to flinch, or they're not going to do anything to throw off the shot. They exhale. Is God breathing on the moment? Is God exhaling on the moment? Is the weather just right? Is the time just right? Because listen, Caleb said, let's take it at once. Caleb recognized the right moment for the people of God. And listen, this is only 2 years after they're in the wilderness. God gives them their opportunity, their divine moment, their appointed time to go into the promised land. And Caleb recognizes that, but everybody else said, no, we can't take it. So they missed their moment. They missed their appointed time. They missed their opportunity to take the promised land. And that's 2 years compared to how many years did they spend in the wilderness? 40. And if you keep on reading, in chapter 14, it says that after the people realized what big of a mistake they made, they repented and they got up the next day and they tried to take the promised land the next day and they couldn't do it. It didn't work. They let the moment pass them by, and even though they tried to do the same thing the next day, the moment wasn't right. The weather wasn't right. The time wasn't right, so they couldn't go in. They couldn't go in. So it's one thing to know your mark. It's one thing to see things from the right perspective. It's another thing to know the right moment to release. Amen. And now I want to talk about moments. And see, when me and Pastor Doyle was talking about this on Wednesday night, it just began to burn in us. And Pastor Doyle said, man, I feel like God's wanting this to be spoke about, because there's some people out here, they're about to miss their moment. They know their mark. They know their purpose, but they're about to miss their moment. Come on. I don't want you to miss your moment. I don't want to miss my moment. Amen. How many of y'all ever heard the concept of the Kairos moment? Huh? There's chronological time, or chronos time, right? And then there's Kairos time. There's Kairos moments. All right? And when it comes to the appointed time, and I just want to read that scripture again because I'm going to finish it out. But Kairos means this. Kairos means the most opportune time. All right, it doesn't just mean any old time sitting back waiting on a certain hour or minute or second of the day. It means the most opportune time. When is the most fruit going to be able to come from it? Huh? The Bible says that at just the right time, Jesus came to the earth. Why did Jesus come at the moment in history that he came? Because the stage was set. Because everything else was right and ready for him to come. All right? It says at just the right time he came. It was a Kairos moment. All right? But let me read Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 again real quick, because I didn't finish the scripture and I want to finish it. It says, then the Lord answered to me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, what does tarry mean? It seems like it's being delayed. It seems like it's being held up. But that scripture right there says, though it tarries, it will not tarry. Now, what does that mean? Talking about a point of time, talking about a Kairos moment. Though it seems like it's being delayed, though it seems like it's being held up, it's really already done. You got to know, how many of y'all know when it comes to appointed time, or the concept of appointed time, or the concept of a Kairos moment, God's not confined by chronological time. God lives outside of time. He's bigger than time. And he knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. It's like he started at the end and wrote backwards. All right? Everything, all the purposes that he want fulfilled, they're already done in the eternal realm. It's already taken place. It's already established. It is the truth. There is no shifting shadow in the things of God. It's already done. You got to understand that God lives outside of time. So when we're thinking about the concepts of appointed time, we got to get our minds ready to understand that we can't just try to confine God to chronological time. All right? Hours, days, minutes, and seconds. We got to start thinking bigger than that. We got to start getting our minds shaped and molded to something that's more than just hours, days, minutes, and seconds. But appointed time, it's like there's an eternal appointment that wants to meet us in this temporary time realm. But whether it will or not depends on a few different things. And that's what we're going to talk about. How many of y'all want to seize your moment and know how to do that? Well, listen, guys, there's an appointed time for things to take place in the kingdom of God. There's an appointed time for you to level up and go from glory to glory and faith to faith in the things of God. When you're faithful in few, God will give you more, right? But see, the appointed time for you to go further has absolutely nothing to do with time in and of itself. It has everything to do with you submitting to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't know about y'all, I use this example all the time, and I used it in the young adults class when we were talking about this concept. But how many of y'all seen some people been in church for 20 years, right? And it seems like they don't ever go anywhere. Seems like they just stay the same. They stand up and tell their testimony, well, all I know is that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. You've been in this thing 20 years and that's all you know, huh? Come on. You should know a little bit more than that, right? Come on, this is not some kind of blind waiting game. We're just sitting back hoping and watching and waiting for the things of God to fall in our lap. We got to be dressed and ready for service, right? So at the very moment that he knocks, we're ready to open. Huh? Come on. I've seen it so many times, though, and I'm not trying to beat anybody up or hurt anybody's feelings, but I've seen it so many times. There's people been in church 20 years. It seems like they don't go anywhere. Then it's like some young person shows up. It's been there 2 or 3 years, and they completely surpass that person that's been in there 20 years. It's like, why is this happening? Well, it's obviously not got nothing to do with time in and of itself. All right, it's obviously got nothing to do with seniority and just sitting back, watching and waiting. It has everything to do. That young person that seems to go completely further than the other person, they just submitted to the working of the Holy Spirit in their life, and they allowed God to do a quick work in them that took them to the next level. How many of y'all want to go to the next level? I don't want to go around the mountain of sin in the wilderness of sin, still missing the mark for 40 years. I want to receive God's operating system and allow him to do a work in me that prepares me to take the promise. I don't want to miss my moment. I don't want this church to miss their moment. And when it comes to a Kairos moment, you know, this whole thing of the two churches come together has been talked about for a long time, but it wasn't the right moment. It wasn't the right time. All the hearts and minds weren't ready, you know? Come on. There was a sifting going on at ITL, huh? There was a shaking going on at ITL, and the unshakable was the ones who remained. You know, and that got that ministry ready to merge with this ministry. It didn't matter that we saw the mark. It didn't matter that we saw what God wanted to do. It was about the right time for it to take place. And that's why things are just naturally unfolding. And that's why everything is just, it seems like we don't even have to strive for it. It's just taking place because it is the Kairos time. It is the eternal appointment showing up in our temporary time realm and us seizing it, being ready for it. Man, when you start preaching stuff like this, it really challenges people's mindsets. You know, it really gets them to start thinking outside of the box. But we got to start thinking according to God's ways. We got to start thinking on God's time if we're ever going to see his purposes fulfilled in our day, in our time, in this chronological realm. Amen. Though it tarries, it will not tarry. Though it seems like it's being held up, it's really already done. The question is, when are we going to be ready for it? See, so many people, Listen, God's prepared the moment for you. Are you allowing him to prepare you for the moment? So many people sitting back waiting on their moment, and your moment's just sitting back waiting on you. Come on. Man, we're in Bible college, and got Reinhardt Bunke on the videos, and they're like 20 years old, and it's crazy how it's so fresh and still relevant for today. But Reinhardt Bunke, one of the things he talks about, he says, you know, those who wait on the Lord is really an Old Testament concept. Huh? And in the New Testament, God's just waiting on us. He's waiting on us to get it together. He's waiting on our hearts and our minds to be prepared for the eternal moments, the eternal appointments that want to meet us in our temporary time. And listen, they might show up and they might not. It all depends on us. It all depends on us. So first, we identify the mark. Second, we prepare for the moment. We got to prepare for God's moment, man. And yes, after you're prepared for the moment, when you're pulled back, listen, there's a whole lot of practice, there's a whole lot of training, there's a whole lot of commitment that takes place for an archer to show up at an archery tournament and really be who he is supposed to be to win that tournament, all right? He has a whole lot of practice before that. He has a whole lot of time before that. But then when the time's right and he's at that tournament and the bullseye's in his sight and in his scope and he's got the arrow pulled back, it's not about just being prepared and knowing your mark. It's about waiting for the right moment, you know. And that has a whole lot to do with the weather, right? That has a whole lot to do with when is it. You can get prepared for your moment, and you'll still have to wait for it's not just so much about you being ready, but everything else being ready as well. Does that make sense? And I know, like, I just got to talk about this. It seems like when I figured out what God's purpose was for my life, I wanted to do it in my own time. I wanted to go ahead and fulfill it. We've all been there, right? We've all been there. And, you know, the Bible says that God will close doors that no man can open. He'll open doors that no man can close. That has a lot to do with timing as well. But when I tried to do things in my own time and I look back and I realized that it wasn't the right time, I asked God, I'm like, God, why did you even let me walk through that door or even try in my own time if you're the one who's supposed to shut those doors? And you got to understand that all those doors, all you striving in and of yourself, one thing, it really just lets you know that you can't do it. And it really just helps you to learn how to depend on God and to really trust him and his timing. But for another thing, it also helps prepare you. See, David, when he brought the Ark of the Lord back from the camp of the enemy and he was bringing it to the children of God, it says he did it the wrong way the first time and he could only get it to Obed-Edom's house, right? See, he didn't even really learn the right way to do things until he did it the wrong way first. See, so many of y'all are sitting in here saying, well, I already tried it in my own time, and I've already messed it up, and I've already made mistakes. Listen, God allowed you to do that so you'd learn some things. Come on, he's bigger than you, and he's already made provision for your mistakes, right? How many of y'all know who Abraham was? He's the father of faith. And so many times when we talk about Abraham, we think that he's some kind of perfect person that never did anything wrong. But how many of y'all know he did some things out of time as well? Huh? God told him that he was going to have a son, but he tried to fulfill that purpose in his own time. And guess who was born? Ishmael was born instead of Isaac, right? It's like, why did God allow you to do that? Huh? But then you got Isaac. Then you got Isaac, and then you got his son, Jacob, right? And then Jacob has a son named Joseph, right? Joseph has a dream that he's going to be ruler, and he tells all his brothers about it, and his brothers throw him into a pit, tell his dad that he got ate by a wild animal, and they said that they was just going to leave him in the pit to die, but guess what? Some Ishmaelite traitors showed up. Listen, the mistake took the promise to its destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some Ishmaelite traders showed up, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelite traders, And the Ishmaelite traders took him to Egypt, and that's where his destiny was. Listen, the mistake will be redeemed for God's purposes to help your promise get to its destination. You were not big enough to unintentionally mess up God's purpose for your life. You're not big enough to do it. Now listen, now if you're intentionally just rebelling against the Lord and wanting to go after the things of the world and you never, you know, humble yourself and put your pride down and submit to God's purpose for your life, then you can miss it, all right? But if you are doing everything you can to try to live out God's purposes for your life, you're not big enough to mess it up. The only reason he's allowing those doors to be open is because you're going to learn something. Because the mistakes that you make are going to enhance your promise and get it to its destiny, man. Come on. So don't sit there and think, well, I've messed it up. You know, it's too late for me. You know, the time, you know, and listen, there's businesses in here. You tried to do that business endeavor a long time ago and the time wasn't right and it didn't work out. Well, listen, the Kairos is coming back around. The Kairos is coming back around. Huh? There's ministries. You tried to start doing this ministry back in your time and God allowed you to learn some things, huh? But it wasn't the right time, so it didn't bring the fruit that it was supposed to. So, but listen, the Kairos is coming back around. Come on, the Kairos is coming back around. The moment's coming back around. There's some people in here that got some books that they're supposed to write. And you tried to do it a while ago, and it just didn't work out. It seems like it wasn't flowing, but the Kairos is coming back around. There's songs that you've been trying to write, huh? There's worship that's been trying to come forth, but the Kairos wasn't there. God was just preparing you for that moment, for that day, and for that time, man. When it comes to networking and connecting with other ministers and other ministries, it seems like there was a time in my life that I felt like God wanted me to do that, and it just didn't work out. There's some other people in here that's been trying to do that as well, and it's like they just didn't want to hear you. They just didn't want to listen to you. They just didn't see, you know, what God was doing in your life. Well, listen, it wasn't the right time, but it's coming back around. Don't get so hurt and so jaded by not being able to do it in your own time that you miss your moment when God's time comes around. Because that's what the enemy will want to do in your life. He'll want you to be mad. God, you wanted me to do this, and I tried to do it, and it didn't work. So forget it. I just ain't going to do it. And then when the moment shows up, you miss it because you're mad. Come on, he's breathing on some dreams. He's exhaling. Huh? The moment's, the season's right. The hearts are ready. It's the most opportune time where it's going to be the most fruitful. Huh? Amen. How many of y'all know that when it came to the children of Israel going into the promised land, the reason that they didn't go was because they had the wrong mentality. They wasn't ready to go. Huh? But there was some people that was ready to go. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Right? Now, what was different about them than all the others? Why did they believe that they could take the promised land but the others didn't? Huh? Why did they recognize the Kairos moment and the right time but the others didn't? What was different? Because listen, they had the word, they had the law. Moses was teaching it to them. They had, you know, their mind and their focus and their perspective was getting shaped to see the mark that God had for their life, but it didn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. There's got to be more than that, okay? There's got to be more than that. And I want to read y'all a scripture in Exodus chapter 33, starting in verse 7. And just let me say this. There's a difference and knowing God for what he does and knowing God for who he is. How many of y'all know there was a lot of miracles that took place in the wilderness? Huh? Manna came out of heaven. The quail was called in. Water came out of the rock. The sandals never wore out. I mean, I could just go on and on. I mean, God showed up in miraculous ways, but it was all God doing things for them. Huh? So they knew God according to what he could do, but they didn't know God according to who he was. And listen, God can do everything in the world for you, and you can know him on that level, but if you never know him for who he is, he'll never be able to do anything through you. Because listen, in the wilderness, he'll do things for you, but if you want the promise, it's something he's wanting to do through you. So let me read this scripture real quick. Exodus 33, verse 7. This is the New Living Translation. It says this: it was Moses' practice, everybody say practice, to take the tent of meeting. Anybody got a tent of meeting? Anybody got a secret place? Anybody got a prayer closet? Huh? It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Notice it's set up some distance from the camp. It's away from all the distractions. It's away from the cell phone. It's away from the Facebook. It's away from the world, all right? Took the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of the meeting outside the camp. All right, now I want you to notice the difference. Moses, it was his practice. That means he built it into his life. He did this every day. He went to the tent of meeting. It says everyone else had the opportunity to do the same thing. They just went when they wanted to make a request, though. Huh? They just went when they wanted something done for them. Huh? What's your prayer life look like? Huh? Is it a list of, God, can you do this for me? God, can you do that for me? Or is it, God, I don't care if you do anything else for me or not, because you've already done too much, and I just want to know you for who you are. It doesn't matter if you do anything else for me. I want to get to know you every day. I want to build it into my life. I want to know who you are for who you are, not for what you can do for me. Because everyone had the same opportunity as Moses, but they just went when they needed something. They just went when they wanted something. And if you read on, it says that when Moses got up and left the tent of meeting, Joshua, son of Nun, stayed behind. So that's why Joshua believed he could take the promise. That's why Moses believed he can take the promise. And it really doesn't say too much about Caleb, but there's some of those people out there, man, they just get it. And, you know, those kind of people kind of make me sick sometimes, you know, because I need a little more work than that. Some people just get it, though. They're born speaking in tongues. They're born understanding Kairos moments. They're born, you know, it just clicks for them. It just clicks for them, you know. But this is the difference right here. This is the difference. Moses practiced it. The rest just came when they wanted stuff, man. Listen, how do you read the Bible? When you read the Bible, do you say, look what God did, or do you say, look who God is? How do you read it? Is it about what he can do, or is it about who he is? Quit going to your prayer closet with a list of requests and go just wanting to know him, man. Because listen, when you get to know him, that's when you start to believe that you are who he says you are. See, the Bible says we're created in the image and the likeness of God. So the more we get to know him, the more we realize who we are. And the main reason that they didn't believe that they could take the promised land is because they didn't view themselves right. Because they didn't know him. If they would have known him for who he was, they would have knew who they were. They would have believed that they were who God said that they were, and they could do what God said that they could do. But one of the scriptures in that passage in Numbers says that they felt like grasshoppers. That's how they saw themselves. They didn't see themselves like God saw them. It says that they felt like grasshoppers next to the people in the promised land. Get to know him for who he is, guys. Get to know him for who he is. All right. I got a little bit more. When you're confident, only when you're confident in who God created you to be and you know who you are is when you'll be able to seize the moment that God has for your life, the Kairos. And you know, Father's House International Church, confidence in who you're created to be and who God says you are has a whole lot to do with fatherhood. A lot of people run around here, they're insecure, they don't believe that they can do anything in life, and it's really a lack of fatherhood in their life. It's really a lack of family in their life. One of the main things that the enemy wants to attack in this generation and in this day of time is the family. Because he knows that if we understand family, he knows that if we understand fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters, then we start to understand the way God works. We start to believe that we are who God says that we are. You know, and you might come from a broken home. I come from a broken home. And it's really a lot of the reason that I had a lot of the issues that I had and still struggle with at times, you know. It's because I didn't have my family together giving me that affirmation, making me believe in myself and making me believe that I was who God said that I was and getting me focused on God's purpose for my life. That's why the enemy wants to come against family. That's why the enemy wants to come against you in that way, all right? So you might come from a background like that, and you come into the kingdom of God, and you're like, okay, I'm starting to realize that Father God is not going to treat me like my earthly father did. But it's one thing to know what God, it's one thing to know what he's not going to treat you like. It's another thing to know what he is going to treat you like. And that's why God wants to place some spiritual fathers and mothers in your life so you can see something different. It's one thing for me to know that God's not going to treat me like my earthly dad did. It's another thing for me to know what he is going to treat me like. What does real fatherhood look like? And, you know, being under Sean and being here for the time that I've been here, he's really been the instrument that God used to show me something different. I could see it in front of me, and I'm like, okay, wow, I actually see what God is like. I actually see how God views me because of this person in my life. And that's why you need to embrace the concept of spiritual father and spiritual mother in your life, because if you don't embrace that, then you're never going to see something different, and you're always going to have an incomplete view of who God is, and then you'll have an incomplete view of who you really are, and you'll miss your moments, and you won't take the promise for your life. Sean being in my life showed me something different. Amy being in my life showed me something different. Dual being in my life, Tony being in my life, they let me see the heart of the true father. They let me see it right in front of me. It's one thing to think about it as a concept in your mind. It's another thing to see it right in front of you. So I don't care how you've been hurt by the brokenness that you come from. You got to open yourself up and make yourself vulnerable to the family of God, to the mothers and fathers of God, or you're never going to seize the moments that you're meant to seize. You're never going to believe that you are who God says that you are. That's one of the main destinies of Father's House International Church. Raise up sons and daughters. Come on, there's a difference in raising up leaders and raising up sons and daughters. Equipping the saints, what does that look like? Raising up sons and daughters. Huh? Let me see here. Y'all tracking? I feel like it's kind of stop and go, but y'all are with me, right? Okay. But let's apply this to personal evangelism. How many times have you missed your moment when it comes to witnessing to people? Huh? See, this applies all the way down to the smallest, all the way up to the biggest. Huh? If you don't believe that you are who God says that you are, you won't witness to that person like you're meant to or when you're meant to. You'll be scared. Huh? There's been so many times that God was burning on my heart. This is the moment. It's not the hour, day, minute, or second, but it's the right time. His heart's right. Her heart's right. Their mind's open. They're ready to hear something from the Lord. You need to go now. And there's been times that I've hit it, but there's been times that I've missed it. And the times that I've missed it, man, that's when I find no rest. That's when I can't sleep at night. You know, and there's been times that I missed it, and I wake up the next day just still tore up about it, and I go try to find the same person and tell them the same thing, and it doesn't work the next day. Because now their heart's shut down. Now their mind's shut down. We got to understand, we got to become a people that learns to think according to Kairos time, not Chronos time. Learn to be led by the Spirit. Those who worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit. And in the spirit realm, you're not confined by time. You're in tune with the Kairos moments of the Lord. The spirit realm isn't confined by time. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says this: live wisely. Everybody say wisely. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Now, y'all know the word wisely right here. The root word is wise. When Solomon went to God, what did he ask for? Wisdom. But you know what that word meant? It meant a hearing heart. Huh? God, give me a hearing heart, a heart that's in tune with you so I can lead your people. It's the same word. Come on, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. A sensitive heart, a heart that's in tune with the Kairos moments, the Kairos time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. It says this right here. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are what? Wise. Let's keep going. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. You want to come on. Romans 8:14, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Not those who have the Spirit, but those who were led by the Spirit. Are you being led by the Spirit? Are you in tune with the spirit realm, understanding the Kairos moments and why God's burning on your heart to speak to somebody, why God's burning on your heart to seize this opportunity and to seize this moment? And listen, if you don't believe that you are who God says that you are, you'll miss it. And the only way you're ever going to believe that you are who God says that you are is if you get to know Him for who He is, not what He can do. It didn't matter that God did all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders for them in the wilderness. God can do everything in the world for you. But if you don't believe that you are who God says that you are, and you don't get to know Him for who He is, you're still going to miss it. You're still going to miss it. And I love to talk about this stuff. If sin means to miss the mark, what's the opposite of sin? It's righteousness. Righteousness means to hit the mark. And it's one thing to understand the concept of sin meaning to miss the mark. It's another thing to understand the concept of righteousness meaning to hit the mark. Listen, you can, you're not, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, all His marks for your life, and everything else will be added unto you. Huh? Come on. Our righteousness, our marks, are like filthy rags before the Lord. What we think we should do and when we think we should move and the timing that we have, it doesn't stack up. Huh? Come on, you're not living righteous. It's not just about making sure you're not doing anything wrong. What are you doing right? Are you moving when He says move? Are you doing what He says to do? Now I got to go to this scripture. Luke chapter 19. And this is the scripture that was tearing me and Doyle up Wednesday night. So, I had to give it to y'all. I'm done with this Bible, so I'm going to put it down. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 41. This is when Jesus is, it's called like the triumphal entry, when He's riding into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. Which that's a whole nother message I could preach on. But it says this. Now as He drew near, He saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, your moment, the things that make for you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. You did not recognize the moment that God set up for you in your life. All right? Then it says this. Then He went to the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. All right, so Jesus rides into the city, and He recognizes the condition of the city, and He starts to weep. He starts to cry. He recognizes the mind frame of the people, the mentality of the people. He sees that they're thinking like slaves and not like sons. Huh? He sees that they're missing all the marks that God has for their life, and they're not doing what they're created to do and being who they're created to be, and he starts to weep, all right? But he doesn't stop and deal with the people. He doesn't stop and try to minister to them. Where does he go? He goes to the temple. Because he knows the reason that the city's in the shape that it's in is because the temple's in the shape that it's in. The reason that the people are missing their marks and missing their moments and they're not thinking like sons instead of slaves is because the temple wasn't what it was supposed to be in that day and that time. Come on. So he goes to the temple and he cleans house. He says, y'all need to get out of here. You've turned this in to a place of profit, and it's meant to be a house of prayer. Huh? Tie that back into the tent of meeting. This is where people are meant to understand who they are and how they're meant to think and the mark and the purposes that God has for their life. And this is where they're meant to understand how to think in Kairos time and seize moments for their life. But because you're not being who you're created to be, it's caused the mess in the people in the city. So y'all need to get out. I'm coming to the root of the problem, and this thing's going to turn around. And listen, when it comes to Bluefield, Virginia, West Virginia, this region, I believe Jesus has showed up to a couple churches. Huh? He's shaken, and he's sifted, and he's saying, I'm getting to the root of the problem, and I'm going to raise up a people who know how to think according to my ways, who know how to think according to my truth. And when that gets right, the mentality and the strongholds of the region are going to come down. And they're going to recognize the time of my visitation. They're going to seize their moments. They're going to seize their opportunities. And heaven is going to come to earth. He didn't even stop and talk to the people. He said, no, that's not the problem. He had compassion on the people. He said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. The shepherds are the problem. The temple's the problem. Man. Do you realize the weight and the magnitude of what it is that God's called you to be a part of here in Bluefield, West Virginia? Come on. Huh? Huh? A lot of people don't understand the Word from this perspective. A lot of churches don't have a revelation this deep on the Word. And that's why they're still going around the mountain. Just thinking it's a blind waiting game. Holding on. You know? Holding on. One day in the sweet by and by. It's not about one day in the sweet by and by. It's about God shaping you to bring the sweet by and by here and now. Huh? It's a house of prayer. Tent of meeting. You're going to realize who you really are because you're going to get to know God. And see, so many churches, they preach a gospel of what God can do instead of who God is. Huh? And that's why the people are focused on just knowing God for what he can do instead of who he is. And listen, guys, just like there's an appointed time for us to seize moments and opportunities in our lives, just like there's an appointed time for us to go from glory to glory and faith to faith and level up in the things of God, there's an appointed time for Jesus to come back. And it has absolutely nothing to do with time in and of itself. It has absolutely nothing to do with hours, days, minutes, and seconds. That's why the scripture says no one knows the hour. No one knows the day, because it's not about hours. It's not about days. It's about when is the bride going to be ready, huh? When is the bride going to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in her to get her right? That's when he's going to come. That's when he's going to come. Listen, if you could do something to hurry up the coming of Christ, if you could do something to help bring about the appointed time of Jesus' return, because all the little marks are just, you know, leading us to the big mark, right? Come on. All the little marks, Jesus is the mark, right? But when we make Jesus the mark, there's things that he puts us here to do and marks that he puts us here to hit in order to get to that destination. And if you could do something to help hurry that along and help bring that about, would you do it? Let me ask you that. Come on. Are y'all stuck on that old country song, everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go now? Come on. Yeah, when I die, I like to be there, but I'm having too much fun in the world right now. I'll just wait on that, you know. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. This is the New Living Translation. Listen to this. It says, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, it's talking about the end, what holy and godly lives you should live. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. You mean that there's something that we can do to hurry the day of God along? Well, that scripture right there. Come on, you want to read the older translations? It says hastening the time. Hasten means to help bring about, to help speed up the process. There's something that you can do. There's something that I can do to help bring about the day of God. It's not about sitting back waiting on an hour, day, minute, or second. It's not about 12/12/2012, y'all. That's not what it's about. It's about when are we going to be ready. Ephesians chapter 4. This is my last scripture, I think. Verses 11 through 13. It says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Then listen to what it says. This will continue. Everybody say that. This will continue. Until when? Huh? You mean this is going to keep taking place. The training up, the raising up, the building up of the body of Christ. It just keeps going on and on until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Listen, Jesus is not going to come back until that happens. It's not about a waiting game, waiting on an hour, waiting on a day, waiting on a minute, waiting on a second. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to train us up, to build us up, to raise us up, to think according to the Kairos, to worship God in spirit and in truth, and seize the moments and be who we're created to be, man. Until that happens, we're stuck here, y'all. We're stuck. Listen. God had to wipe out a whole generation in the wilderness and raise up another one. Is that what he's going to have to do in this day and time? Huh? Are we going to get it? Is he going to have to raise somebody else up? Are we going to play our role? Are we going to play our part? Or is he going to have to raise somebody else up, man? Come on. And here's what you got to understand. Let's say your arrows pull back, your bows pull back, you got the mark. You're ready, you're prepared, you've had a lot of practice, you had a lot of training, and it's go time. You're waiting on the weather to die down. You're waiting on the wind to die down. You're waiting on all the distractions to clear out. You're waiting on the Kairos. Even though you're prepared, you still got to wait on the weather, right? Now, when it comes to a spiritual weather or a spiritual atmosphere or a spiritual climate, how do we govern that? Can we govern that? The Bible says that Elijah, when he prayed for the rain to stop, it stopped for 3 years. And then when he prayed for the rain to start, it started. Huh? What was the key there? Prayer. My house will be known as a house of prayer. Huh? It's one thing to know your mark and be prepared, but it's another thing for the weather to be right. And we're just going to be sitting here with our bow pulled back and our arrow towards the mark, and the weather's going crazy until we learn to pray. Huh? Until we learn to pray. Till we learn to pray and change the weather. Till we learn to pray and change the climate of the region. When it comes to personal evangelism, God's got you working on somebody. Are you praying that their heart gets right? Are you praying that their mind gets open? Because listen, you're going to be talking to a brick wall until the Spirit moves and does something to open up a Kairos moment for you. All right? Huh? And apply that to the bigger picture. Are we praying for this region to change? Are we praying for the weather to change? Because we can have the arrow pulled back and on target, but the weather can still be going crazy and we'll never get a Kairos moment until we learn to pray. Got these tattoos on my arm, says pray hard. There's times in my life to where those really meant something and that's who I was. There's times in my life to where they were just tattoos, guys. I ain't gonna sit and lie to you about it. But we got to learn to be a praying people. Huh? We can't just get shaped and molded by the Word and see things from the right perspective and see our mark and get prepared for that. We can be prepared, but if we're not praying for the weather to change, the moment's not going to be right to release. We got to pray. He's raising up a people. So first, you identify the mark. First, second, you prepare for the moment. Third, you pray for a shift. All right? You pray that the weather changes over the region, in the hearts and the minds of the people. Huh? And then watch what God will do. Watch what God will do. He's raising up a people who are getting shaped and molded according to this. Sons of Issachar. Y'all have heard that, right? They discern the signs and the times. Well, I believe in New Testament sons of the Issachar, they don't just discern the signs of the times, they're ready for the signs of the times. All right? They're not in tune with the Kronos, they're in tune with the Kairos. Huh? They know how to pray and change the weather for things to move. Huh? And speed up the coming of Christ to help bring it about. And listen, if anybody doesn't want us to understand this, the enemy doesn't want us to understand this, all right? Come on, there's a story in Matthew chapter 8 where Jesus crosses over the sea and he runs into a man that's possessed by a legion of demons, and the demons come up to him and they say, "Son of man," or "Son of God, why are you interfering with us? Because it's not yet the appointed time." See, the devil understands the concept of appointed time, and he knows that it doesn't have anything to do with hours, days, minutes, and seconds. He knows it has everything to do with us being ready, and that's why he wants us to believe that it's just a waiting game and we never get ready. Because if we believe that it's just a waiting game and we never get ready, then it prolongs his time here in the earth, and more people die lost and more people go to hell, right? Come on, the devil understands. That's why he wants to make fools out of us and have us just sitting back waiting and watching, think it's going to fall in our lap. But once we get a revelation that we can do something to speed up the coming of Christ, that we can be prepared to see the Kairos moment and change the weather, his time gets shorter and shorter. And when Jesus was in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, after the enemy had tempted him and tested him, it says that he left him until the next opportune time. Until the next, see, because Jesus was about to step into a Kairos. He was about to be released into the ministry that God called him to. Huh? Every time, I guarantee, every time that you're getting ready to step into a Kairos moment for God, the devil's going to show up and tempt you. Huh? He recognizes the opportune times too. Huh? He's going to throw up a counterfeit. Huh? See if you'll take that way instead of God's way. He's trying to make a fool out of us. So the time just keeps ticking. Huh? People just keep dying lost. People just keep going to hell. And listen, guys, when we understand this, it's not like we need to get right and peace out to all the sinners. We're going to heaven. No, when we get right, then the light of Jesus starts to shine forth. We start to hit the marks in our everyday life. We start to see the Kairos moments when people's hearts and minds are right, and evangelism takes place like it never has before. The third great awakening takes place. The end times harvest come in, and then we all roll out together. It's the domino effect. We got to understand this, guys. Don't miss your moment for that business. Don't miss your moment for that ministry. Don't miss your moment with that person that God has put in your life. Be praying for the weather to change. Be praying for the weather to be right. Don't just get yourself prepared, but be a man of prayer. Be a woman of prayer that knows how to change the weather so you can release at the right time. And then when we all start to understand that and think like that and become the New Testament sons of Issachar, man, what God can do. What God can do. What God can do, man. Huh? And the problems with the church. Jesus has showed up. He's cleaned house. Identify your marks. Prepare for the moments.